Ron Ross on WJBC.
Hey, that's something everyone can enjoy.
Welcome back to the show. It's 11:14. It is already 85 degrees, and with the humidity, it feels stickier yet. And braving the weather this morning, some gentlemen from the Central Illinois Radio Club. The president, Ed Deutsch, is here. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ron.
Ed is KC9 Golf Foxtrot. Okay, we've got Gary Huber, AB9M. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
And gentlemen, I met about a year ago, Keith Hansen, AC9 Sierra, is here. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Ron.
Glad to have you here, guys, to talk a little bit about ham radio. And as our listeners may or may not know, I have been a ham radio operator myself since 1963. And I got to tell you, this is a great hobby, as you guys well know. I've been doing this since I was 13. How young were you guys when you got started?
I started when I was about 30, 32.
Okay. And Gary?
I started in 1973.
Okay. All righty. And Keith?
Oh, I was 61. I was 15 or so.
Oh, okay. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a hobby that is good for a lifetime. In my case, I've been away. There have been periods of activity that sometimes lasted for years over the years, but I never forgot the Morse code, and I never forgot my love for ham radio. And so now I'm suddenly in one of those bursts of activity again, and I do about 80% code and 20% voice, and it's fun for me, but I haven't caught up to the high-tech stuff. Tell us a little bit about that, Ed.
Well, amateur radio is gone to computers. We use computers quite often for digital communications. We use it for decoding things such as television. Mm-hmm. We can receive television over the over ham radio. Mm-hmm. It's strictly amateur radio television.
Right.
And so there are quite a few digital modes that require a computer.
Mm-hmm. And, Gary, are you involved in that as well?
Yes, I am. In fact, I worked for State Farm for about 22 years in communications and actually developed the devices that you know as the BlackBerry.
Oh, really?
Some of the cellular telephone technology where you're passing digital information.
Uh-huh.
Worked with Motorola, AT&T, and those folks in the development of these digital technologies.
Wow.
We also put in the first Nextel-type radio system that used the packet mm-hmm. the digital technologies for the two radios.
Very good. And Keith, what about you? Are you into the high tech stuff?
Somewhat. I still prefer talking with people voice to voice, and I like code. And we use computers for station automation to keep track of everyone we talk to and do propagation forecasts, know when somebody's going to be on from some part of the world and what the solar cycle is like and how
right.
the propagation would be. So I'm not as much into into digital modes, although I do some teletype contesting.
Uh-huh. Very good. And there's a big event coming up that amateur radio has made its own over the years called Field Day. Ed, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? And Bloomington Normal has a long, proud tradition.
Yes. Field Day started in 1933, and it's typically been held in June. It's finally ended up on the fourth weekend in June. And it's a 24-hour contest.
Mm-hmm.
Starts Saturday at 1 p.m. and ends up Sunday at 1 p.m. And the object of the contest is to make as many contacts as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a point system. If you use voice, it's 1 point per contact. And if you use one of the digital modes, such as Morse code or PSK31 is a keyboard-to-keyboard mode, you get 2 points. And then there are multipliers. Maybe Gary can talk about multipliers a little bit. Not too much up on that. But the Central Illinois Radio Club was involved in the very first Field Day in 1933.
Wow.
And one of our members, who just passed away recently, was part of that first Field Day. And our club made more contacts than the winner, and it was mentioned in a publication by the American Radio Relay League.
Uh-huh.
But the other group had more multipliers than we did. So they
got shafted then.
Yeah, that's the way I see it.
So, Gary, tell us a little about the multiplier
Well,
thing.
The multipliers are based on entities that the ARRL has developed based on amateur population. although the Illinois section is an example, or the Ohio section, some states have geographic sections like north, south, east, or west.
Mm-hmm.
California, as an example, has East Bay, Los Angeles, Santa Clara Valley, San Joaquin, and other areas amongst it. I believe there's about 73, 75 entities at this point, and also includes the Canadian provinces, the Maritime provinces, Northwest Territory, Alaska, Caribbean, U.S. Virgin Islands, and places like that. So
mm-hmm.
What happens is you get a multiplier for each time you work that particular section or
okay.
area.
All right.
And that's multiplied against the contacts points. So as an example, if you made 73 digital contacts, you would actually have 4 points because of the power.
Okay.
It'd be 2 points for each contact, 2 points for the power level, times the 73 sections.
Oh, okay.
So it gets
it's a little
so
complicated.
Your score can add up it can expand quite dramatically based on these multipliers.
All right, very good. What we should get across too here is the purpose of Field Day is to test emergency communications.
Right, exactly. That was my next point. When the normal communications, cell phones, government radio systems can go down, amateur radio has filled that void, such as during 9/11.
Yeah. Katrina,
yeah. Oh. I read a story about the hospitals evacuating the patients, but they had to use helicopters to the roofs of the hospitals. And because of the smoke from all the fires throughout the area, they had to use amateur radio both on the helicopter and on the roofs to guide the helicopters in,
yeah.
or else they wouldn't have been able to evacuate the patients.
So ham radio in general has just had a tremendous history of public service and emergency communications through every natural disaster the whole country's had, right, Keith?
Right. Actually, we're involved. When I talked to you the last time, we were just becoming involved in local emergency communications, and
mm-hmm.
since then we've begun to cement the bonds, and we've been doing some studying, honestly, test taking. We're working with the local Emergency Management Association. We're now doing weather spotting and getting our an organization that's kind of sponsored by this ARRL, the American Radio Relay League. We're getting ourselves integrated with the local community, and we're beginning to do emergency communications for them.
Very good.
We'll always be a backup to the primary professionals, but we're there as a backup should we be needed, like in a Katrina kind of a deal.
We'd also like to ask a couple of questions about becoming an amateur radio operator, joining the Central Illinois Radio Club. My personal concern has been, as guys like us get a little older, is that we've got some new blood entering the picture. And, maybe Keith, you were at the Dayton Ham Radio Convention, and you said there were some encouraging signs there.
Yeah, there were. My wife and I, we got Dayton is this marvelous, large, it's called a ham fest. There must have been 20,000 people all jammed together caring about ham radio. And we're concerned that the ham population's aging. We don't have enough new people coming in. And as we looked around, Nettie remarked at first, and I said, yeah, you're right, hon. There were quite a number of younger faces, by younger, 20s, 30s. There
mm-hmm.
were a fair number of kids running around, and I was really pleased to see the kids because
yeah.
I'm not sure I've seen that in the past. I'm not exactly sure why this is happening. I know that the ARRL, the national organization, had sponsored a kids part of this, a section of the thing they set aside just for kids. You had to be under 18 to be there and be a part of it. But so that was healthy. So, but still, the major issue is to get new blood into the hobby. It's a great lifelong hobby, as you said. I've been
yeah.
doing it since I was a kid, and you know, if you can get started early, it lasts your life. If you start later, well, it lasts you however long you have.
Well, you know, the thing I noticed when I became a ham is that most of the guys I talked to every Saturday morning around the state of Iowa, in my case, we were all about the same age, 13, 14, 17 years old, and there were a lot of us. And these days, I don't know if that's as common or not. One thing that I think some people are concerned about is, does it take a great deal of technical expertise to get into ham radio? Do you need to know the Morse code? Am I going to be called a nerd if I become a ham radio operator? You guys want to address that?
Well, we've been exposing youth through the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, as far as the education, if they have about third-grade math, if they can add, subtract, multiply, and divide,
mm-hmm.
they've got enough math skills to pass the technical portion of it. But we've also had this jamboree on the air where we brought the young kids in, and there's the Radio Merit Badge in the Boy Scouts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So there's some exposure there. Now, we haven't seen a lot of kids actually getting licensed, but
mm-hmm.
They have shown an interest, and we are exposing them that way.
Okay. And, Ed, maybe you could address, if somebody listening is interested, or maybe they have a son, a daughter, a niece, a nephew that has expressed some interest, maybe they'd like to come out to a meeting of the Central Illinois Radio Club and meet some of you guys and find out how to go about this.
We have a website. See if I wrote it down here somewhere. Gary, can you
no.
You don't remember the website?
No.
I knew there was something I forgot to write down.
You can Google Central Illinois Radio Club.
Yeah, that's right.
And that will give you the website. It ends in W9EML, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I looked at it the other day, and it was one of those kind of, there's a backslash in there. There was,
right.
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. But there are some links in there that a person could follow to find out what it takes to get into amateur radio.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the club members are listed in there that they can call one of us to get involved. And Keith is involved in classes that they have at Heartland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's one of the things we do is every year via Heartland or through Heartland, another ham and I teach a class in ham radio.
Uh-huh.
And over the last, maybe 6 years that we've been doing it, we've had, I think, just about... We've only had one person not carry through and get their license.
Wow.
It lasts about 6 weeks, and at the end, the last is a testing. It's a regular FCC test, and when it's all done, they will be new technicians.
Yeah, very
and,
good.
And looking at it, I see that the demographics are kind of interesting. I'll see, it's maybe half retirees. I'm seeing a bunch of IT guys out of State Farm, okay, which is kind of a natural, technical bent sort of thing. And then we've had a few kids that come in. We've had a young man, and his mother came, and they both did it, and she didn't want him to go to Heartland by himself. So she came in, and she got the license just so she could be with her son, who was about 14, I think.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool this last time.
Yeah, well, good to hear that. And of course, we're just about out of time, guys, but we do want to give you the opportunity to tell us when the meetings are held and where they're held and that type of thing, Ed.
Yeah, the meetings, in fact, there's one coming up this Wednesday. It's the fourth Wednesday of every month.
All right.
At 7 p.m. at the Red Cross office on Westport Court.
Okay.
That's just off of Route 9 East.
Right.
And also, Gary just mentioned to me, we have a permanent radio station set up at the Red Cross.
Oh, very good. And people can kind of take a look at that and see it in operation, that type of thing. Guys, we are just about out of time, but good luck with Field Day. And do you have a lot of guys all pumped up about this, ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Shock it up in the sunblock.
Yeah, very good. Gary Huber, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. 7-3, Ron.
Yep, and same back at you. And Keith, thanks for being with us once again.
Pleasure.
And Ed Deutsch, KC9GF, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
And we'll have you guys back again sometime. And if you would like to know more about ham radio, by all means, check these guys out and join the club.